Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Faith Perlow, John Russell, Anna Mateo, and Gregory Stockel. Later, Kelly Jean Kelly will present the next part in our series on America's presidents. But first, a new United Nations report says that India will pass China as the world's most populous country in 2023. The world's population is estimated to reach 8 billion by November 15th, the report said. The report also said that number could grow to 8.5 billion in 2030 and to 10.4 billion in 2100. India's population was 1.21 billion in 2011. That number is from India's official population count, or census. The census is carried out once every 10 years. The government delayed the 2021 census because of the coronavirus pandemic. The world's population was growing at its slowest rate since 1950 and fell below 1% in 2020, UN estimates showed. In 2021, the average fertility of the world's population was 2.3 births per woman over a lifetime. That is down from about 5 births per woman in 1950. Worldwide fertility is expected to decrease further to 2.1 births per woman by 2050. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said in a statement, "This is an occasion to celebrate our diversity and marvel at advancements in health that have extended lifespans and dramatically reduced maternal and child mortality rates." Guterres noted that a growing population was a reminder of a shared responsibility of care for the planet. He added that we should reflect on where we still fall short of our commitments to one another. The UN report said worldwide life expectancy at birth fell to 71 years in 2021. That is down from 72.8 years in 2019, mostly because of deaths related to the coronavirus pandemic. The United Nations said more than half of the expected increase in worldwide population through 2050 will be centered in 8 countries. Those countries are India, Congo, Egypt, Ethiopia, Nigeria, Pakistan, Tanzania, and the Philippines. The population of 61 countries is expected to decrease by 1% or more between 2022 and 2050 because of a decrease in fertility levels.
A drug company has asked the United States Food and Drug Administration, FDA, for permission to sell a birth control medicine over the counter. That means it can be bought without providing a doctor's order or prescription. HRA Pharma, a French company, sent the FDA a written request Monday. HRA's hormone-based drug comes in pill form and prevents pregnancy. Such contraceptive medicine was introduced in the 1960s and has become the most common form of birth control for women in the U.S. But it has always required a prescription for purchase. The pill can lead to blood clots in some users, although this is rare. HRA's requests to the FDA argues that users can measure the risks on their own and use the pill successfully.
For a product that has been available for the last 50 years, that has been used safely by millions of women, we thought it was time to make it more available, said Frederic Wellgreen, HRA's chief strategy officer. The HRA medicine is called Opal and is not sold in the U.S. The FDA could approve it for sale by next year. Many women's health and reproductive rights supporters want other prescription contraceptives and abortion pills to make the move to over-the-counter. The FDA action could guide many other decisions about women's health care in the years to come. Reproductive freedom is a major issue in the country. Last month, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, the 1973 decision that established the constitutional right to seek medical abortions.
In 2006, the FDA approved the emergency contraceptive pill called Plan B. The medicine, progestin, prevents ovulation from taking place. It does not end an established pregnancy. Last year, the agency removed other limits on mifepristone, permitting patients to get the medication by mail after meeting with a doctor virtually. The medicine, mifepristone, blocks the body from producing a substance needed to maintain pregnancy. Abortion opponents disagreed with those decisions. Democratic Party lawmakers were urging the FDA to consider over-the-counter contraceptive requests even before HRA's announcement on Monday. In a letter from March, 50 members of the House of Representatives pro-choice caucus called on the FDA to consider over-the-counter birth control pills without delay and based solely on the data. Many of America's common over-the-counter medications were once prescription-only drugs, including some pain and allergy medicine. For each medication that made the change, drug companies had to show that users understand the labeling on the bottle, can judge the risks, and can not only use it safely, but effectively without medical care from a doctor.
HRA's research includes 7 years of FDA-required studies and a drug trial of 1,000 women. Over-the-counter birth control pills are available around the world, including countries in South America, Asia, Africa, and Europe. HRA's drug was of special interest to women's health advocates because they say the pill has fewer safety issues than other similar medicine. This is because the majority of other birth control pills contain a combination of the body substances progestin and estrogen. The estrogen can make women's monthly periods lighter, shorter, and consistent in timing. But estrogen can also increase the risk of blood clots, especially in women who may have heart problems, who smoke, and are over the age of 35. The progestin-only pill is advised for use in people who may be at higher risk for blood clots.
HRA received financing for its research through the Oral Contraceptive Over-the-Counter Working Group. This 20-year-old group includes women's health researchers and advocates. They want to make contraceptives easy to get. Kelly Blanchard is the president of EBIS Reproductive Health, a group member that supports increased availability of abortion and contraception. She said, "A lot of our research has been about making the case to help inspire and support a company to take this work on." Many medical groups, including the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and the American Medical Association, support over-the-counter contraception. But some groups, like the nonprofit National Center for Health Research, disagrees. They say that the safety risks of possible deadly blood clots are not worth the benefits.
The FDA continues to examine the safety of birth control pills. Last year, the FDA placed a hold on a study of over-the-counter contraception by Cadence Health, another drug maker. It said Cadence needed to expand blood pressure checks on study subjects. Before the FDA approves HRA's application, it requires a public meeting to consider the safety concerns and the overall request. A decision is likely to come in the beginning of 2023, HRA leaders said. Supporters like Blanchard hope that pill will be the first of many to be approved. Once we see the approval of this product, it will demonstrate that it's possible and that the data is strong. Hopefully, we'll see the process speed up from here, Blanchard said. I'm John Russell.
And I'm Faith Perlow.
You have probably seen those little boxes with a pattern of black marks on products in stores, on signs, or in many other public places. The designs are called QR codes. That is short for Quick Response Code. They are a kind of barcode that a machine can read. You might not know that teachers are finding QR codes make it easy to send messages to students on a mobile device or laptop computer. So, in today's program, we will show you how to use QR codes and the many uses QR codes have for teaching English. In the second part of the program, we will show you how to make different kinds of QR codes using free services. To read a QR code, simply open the camera on your phone and point it at the code. When the phone has read the code, a web link appears over it. Touch or tap it with your finger, and a new window will open with the online material. If this does not work on your phone, you can find a free QR code app to download. They are available in the App Store for Android or Apple products. You can also use the camera on a laptop computer. If you are using a computer without a camera, you can right-click or control-click on the code and choose how to open the material.
The basic use of a QR code is to share a website address. For example, this code will take you to the education page of VOA Learning English. In the classroom, the web link may go to presentation files, listening or reading materials, research resources, or learning games. An important reason for using a QR code is that it can be shared on printed material. Students do not need to type a long and complex series of letters into their tablet or phone to go to a web address. The codes can also show images for students who are not yet reading. With one touch of a finger, the code opens a player, so the student does not have to hunt for the correct application. Some teachers use QR codes in several places around a classroom, called learning centers. At one center, students might find a list of new words. On a card at this center is the QR code for the Learning English Word Book. A student can scan it and look for the meaning of any unknown words.
Another learning center might have a choice of storybooks. A QR code can take the student to the sound of someone reading the story. This code takes you to a public library's collection of storybooks. Teachers can use existing videos or create their own with messages to students. If you are online, watch this on how to share a video with a QR code. Learning with songs can be enjoyable and a nice break from schoolwork. A teacher can create a QR code for a song and print it on the same page as the song's lyrics or words for students to listen and sing along. One new idea in education is project-based learning. A teacher may create a QR code to link to a PowerPoint presentation. The presentation can include spoken instructions, so students can hear and read the instructions again whenever they need to. To create QR codes, there are a number of services you can find by searching for QR code generator. Take care to register for the free version of the service you want. If you do not, you may have to pay to keep the codes that you make active past a trial period.
Once you have chosen a service, look for the choices available to share a web link, a document, image, social media message, or video. Simply copy the link you want to share and paste it into the box the service provides. Follow the instructions to save the code onto your computer. You can print the QR code or add it to a document that you plan to share electronically. To share the pronunciation of a word or a spoken message, create a QR code for a sound clip. The code above is an example of a sound clip made on the service Vocaroo. It says, "Welcome to Voice of America Learning English." You can share any images or documents you want students to see by uploading them to a cloud service like Google Docs. For example, the file linked to this code is a Google Slides presentation. Getting started with QR codes requires a little time, but once you have set up an account, you will probably have many more ideas on how to use these funny little squares. I'm Ana Mateo.
And I'm Gregory Stockel.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about John Quincy Adams. Does his name sound familiar? John Quincy Adams, the sixth president, was the son of John Adams, the second president. Like his father, Quincy Adams had a sharp mind and a difficult personality. And, like his father, Quincy Adams served only one 4-year term as president. But Quincy Adams went on to have many successful years working in a different job. He is the only former president, so far, to serve in the House of Representatives. The parents of John Quincy Adams, John and Abigail, were strong patriots. Theirs was one of the founding families of the United States. Abigail Adams especially raised her son to serve his country. She expected him to become president. She told him that, with his good education and training, if he did not serve in a high public office, it would be his own fault. Quincy Adams did not disappoint his mother. As a child, he learned to speak at least 4 languages and read Greek and Latin. He also studied Shakespeare's plays. At age 10, he traveled with his father to Europe. As a young man, he worked alongside John Adams in American diplomatic offices in Paris, Amsterdam, and St. Petersburg. Finally, Quincy Adams returned to his home in Boston in time to graduate from Harvard. He was working as a lawyer by the age of 23. Stories confirm that Quincy Adams was a brilliant boy and young man, but he rarely compromised his ideas. His inability to work with other lawmakers and to consider public opinion were partly to blame for his difficult presidency. Quincy Adams may have been a poor politician, but he was an excellent diplomat. In the early part of his career, he served as the American ambassador to the Netherlands, Germany, Russia, and Britain. He helped lead the negotiations that ended the War of 1812, and he served for 8 years as Secretary of State under James Monroe. Some of that president's accomplishments owe a lot to Quincy Adams. He helped negotiate the purchase of Florida from Spain, and he was one of the people responsible for the Monroe Doctrine. It warned Europe not to interfere in the Western Hemisphere. But Quincy Adams could be impatient, especially with lawmakers. Many of them, he believed, did not care much about the country and wanted to help only themselves. Quincy Adams also avoided political battles. As Secretary of State, he appointed people whom he thought were capable, even if they did not support his political party. Similarly, when he became president, he tried to bring political opponents, along with representatives of different parts of the country, together in his cabinet. His opponents, however, refused to serve, and although his cabinet included Southerners, he did not really have the support of the South. Yet Quincy Adams talked about unity in his presidential inaugural speech. Adams said, "The Constitution and the representative democracy of the United States had proved a success. The nation was free and strong and stretched across the continent from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific. He noted that political divisions had eased. So now, he said, it was time for the people to settle their differences and make a truly national government. In his first message to Congress, President Adams described his ideas. The chief purpose of the government, he said, was to improve the lives of the people it governed. To do this, he offered a national program of building roads and canals. He also proposed a national university and a national scientific center. Adams said Congress should not be limited to making laws only to improve the nation's economic life. He said it should make laws to improve the arts and sciences, too. But many people of the West and South did not believe that the Constitution gave the federal government the power to do all these things. They believed these powers belonged to the states. Their representatives in Congress rejected the president's proposals. In addition, a new opposition party was trying to weaken support for Quincy Adams. They supported a general from Tennessee named Andrew Jackson. Historian Harlow Giles Unger says, John Quincy Adams was never able to meet the high expectations many people had for him. His presidency was a complete failure, Unger told VOA. He was able to accomplish nothing. Quincy Adams lost the presidential election of 1828 in a landslide. He refused to attend the inauguration of Andrew Jackson. He returned to his home in Quincy, Massachusetts, depressed and worried about the country. His wife, Louisa Catherine Johnson Adams, believed they were returning to Massachusetts to stay. She was an American, but was born in England. Her mother was British. She was, at the time, the first foreign-born First Lady. John and Louisa had four children, but their only daughter had died as a baby. Their sons were grown by the time Quincy Adams retired from the presidency. Soon he became restless. Some neighbors asked if Quincy Adams would consider representing the district as a member of the U.S. Congress. He agreed, but only if voters would let him act as he believed was right, instead of as what would be politically popular. Apparently, they agreed, too, because voters elected Quincy Adams to the House of Representatives 9 times. In Congress, Quincy Adams often fought for citizens' individual liberty. He also strongly opposed slavery. His ideas were not wildly popular at the time, especially among other lawmakers. They had created a rule that said Congress would not even consider any measures against slavery. Yet Quincy Adams defended the rights of enslaved people, frequently and sometimes successfully. He died at the age of 88, a few days after suffering a stroke on the floor of the House of Representatives. At the time, lawmakers were considering a proposal, and, as usual, John Quincy Adams was loudly voting no. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.